بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله Tonight is the 23rd of July in the year 2020 and Alhamdulillah we've completed the first week the seventh night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of our illustrious and beloved mother, Sayyidina Maymuna radiyallahu anha. And I've just begun the subsection in which we're now taking a glimpse into her piety. And the last thing I mentioned was that our beloved mother, Sayyidina Maymuna radiyallahu anha, she would take out loans simply so she could fulfill the needs of others. And the reason is that Allah the Almighty and Glorious will be with that person who has this quality. There will be a guard appointed over him and they will have a means of provision. So this is a very high level of Iman which our mother was demonstrating radiyallahu. In another report in Al-Isabah, Ma'riful Ahadith, volume 4, page 512 of the New English Translation, Ahmad in his Musnad 6-332 relates similar. The illustrious nephew, Sayyidina Yazid ibn al-Asam, radiyallahu, he said, my aunt was given to offer salah abundantly. She attended to household chores and was very particular to use the miswak. She released many slaves and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thus once gave her the following dua, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for this. So note, the nephew has intimacy with the aunt, close up, you could observe. And this is how he described Sayyidina Maymuna radiyallahu anha. Because she would offer salat in abundance. Because if you wanted, you notice she would be offering salat in abundance. So for a sahaba to say that, means that she was Muslim in offering all the optional prayers. Then he said, she attended to household chores and was very particular to use the miswak. So the miswak, the hadith is in Tirmidhi. One of the companions said that I've never seen anybody use the miswak more than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So she was like her husband because she was very particular in using the miswak and she would attend to the household chores. Now why is that important to highlight? Because she had servants. But she would do this to acquire further virtues. She released many slaves, freed many slaves, and this pleased the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the dua he made for her was, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for this. So note, you're getting a glimpse into her piety. In another report it mentions, in Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, Nasa'i Abu Dawud Targhib number 2197. Sayyidina Maymuna radiyallahu anha set free a female slave without seeking permission of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When it was her day on which the Prophet came to her sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she asked, are you aware, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that I have set free my female slave? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, have you indeed? She responded, yes. He replied, if you had given her to your maternal uncles, that would have been more rewarding for you. So let's look at this. So recently we went through Sayyidah Juwayriya radiyallahu anha's life. Identical report. She had also given something. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said exactly the same. If you had given it to your uncles, you would have got more reward. Maymuna, exactly the same. She freed a female slave, but she didn't get the green light from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, meaning she was over eager. But then she asked, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam very politely, he said, if you had given it to your maternal uncles, you would have received more reward, meaning your investment isn't in the best place. So the lesson here is, before we do any deed, we should ask the people of knowledge. Because they will tell you where to invest. You know, many examples. I'm going through Juwayriya's life recently, radiallahu anha, our beloved mother. She was offering some sort of zikr on her prayer mat after Fajr. The Holy Prophet returns at the time of Duha, she's still on the prayer mat. So the Prophet said, are you still on the prayer mat? Are you still in the same position since I left you a few hours ago? She goes, yes. The Prophet said, I've said four words three times, which is greater than your worship. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi adada khalqihi wa rida nafsihi wa zinata arshihi wa midada kalimati. This is in Sahih Muslim. So what do we learn? He was teaching his beloved wife, ask. And there's easier ways to get these virtues. In fact, you get more virtues. So this wasn't to belittle her worship. But she could have got far more, far quickly, if you had only asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So note, we learn, you know, vital lessons here. A lot of people, they're very eager to worship, which is a good thing. But before you take on that worship, ask. In another report it mentions, in Ibn Sa'd in his Tabaqat, volume 8, page 98 of the English translation, in the chapter on the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with a sahih channel transmission, Quraib, rahmatullah alayhi, the freed slave of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu, he relates, my master Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu sent me to drive Maymuna's camel, which I proceeded to do. I continued to hear her say, La ilaha illallah, until she stoned the jamarat. Subhanallah. So now what do we learn about our mother? She would perform Hajj after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some of the holy wives would perform the Hajj. So what was she like during the state of Ihram? And the servant of Ibn Abbas, the freed servant, says, I was told by Ibn Abbas, help your mother. So he was basically just holding the camel. She was in the Hodaj. And he goes, all I heard was Shahada. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. He goes, continuously, until he stoned the jamarat. So what was her state of ihram like? Consider, you know, when we go on Hajj and Umrah, how much time do you waste in ihram? You're not sinful. You know, a person can go to sleep, fine, no problem. You can have something to eat. But is that really what the state of ihram is for? The state of ihram means the inviolable state. Hazrat Anas very powerfully put this across. Once he put the ihram on, he made the intention, and he started doing dhikr. And he only stopped when he came out of the ihram. And when he came out of the ihram, he goes, that's what a muhrim does. That's how a muhrim should act. In Ibn Sa'd and Istabaqat. Think about that. So if you're doing tamattu, in Hajj, you're going to be in ihram for a few days at least. How on earth are you going to do dhikr 24/7? That's the easiest Hajj. Umrah, you can do a few hours, but even then we collapse because we're that weak. That is the state they were in. Maymuna radiallahu anha, she was continuously doing zikr, non-stop. So note, she was very time conscious. She wasn't like the normal run of the mill, where you think I've got plenty of time. You get this impression that they thought we haven't got any time. Our beloved mother radiallahu anha was also fond of the deed of fasting. She liked to fast. But we learned this from a very unusual report. So look how interesting. I'm going to mention the hadith. But you should be amazed at how the scholars extract. It is related that due to the severity of the illness from which our beloved messenger was suffering, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his exalted wives, radiyallahu ta'ala, out of love and concern, wished to give him some medicine. However, he refused to take it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our mothers, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, thus thought that he was reacting like this due to his bitter taste. So what's happened? The Prophet is very ill, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So our mothers, they're thinking, medicine. Allah the Almighty and Glorious has sent medicine, we'll give him some medicine. But when they bring the medicine close to the Holy Prophet's lips, he's turning his blessed face. So when they saw that, they thought, oh, this is like a patient. They don't like medicine. So what happened? In Imam Ahmad's Musnad, Hakim in his Mustadrak Sahih Abu Ya'la, Shaykh al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi states Sahih in As-Sahiha, number 3339. Bukhari and Muslim relates a shorter version. Our beloved mother Sayyidah Aisha radiyallahu anha, she said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam suffered from a severe kidney pain. One day the pain intensified to such a degree that his wives thought he might pass away from pleurisy. So what's pleurisy? This is the inflammation of the pleura, the thin serous membrane that covers the lung and lines that half of the chest cavity, is characterized by difficult, painful breathing and often accompanied by the flow of liquid into the chest cavity. So this is pleurisy. So they thought he was suffering from pleurisy. His breath was getting short. He was, you know, they could probably hear something on his blessed chest. They thus prepared a medication to give him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he weakly motioned them to stop. So he was so weak, he couldn't say anything. But he did some sort of a signal to say, don't. They thought he was acting as an ill person who dislikes to take medication. He thereupon lost consciousness briefly, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they took the opportunity to pour the medication into his mouth. So the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's got into a state of, you know, unconsciousness, and they put some medicine into his mouth, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he regained his consciousness, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was angry to discover that they had disobeyed him. Thus he instructed, did you think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would afflict me with pleurisy? Indeed, this action of yours is from shaitan, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would never grant it power over me. By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all who are in this chamber must now also drink the medication, except for my uncle Abbas radiyallahu, for he did not witness this action of yours. The report continues. Thus all of those who were present in the chamber had to drink that medication. Even Maymuna, who was fasting, she was not spared from the Holy Prophet's command. So let's look at this. So this is an absolutely flawless report in Imam Ahmad's Muslim. So did our beloved mothers do anything wrong? They did. It was out of love they were doing this. However, the Holy Prophet got angry. Why? Because he had given them a signal. He couldn't speak. And obviously you have to obey the command of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when they gave him the medication, look how interesting. Before, he couldn't speak. He was that weak, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Severe kidney pain, breathing, very shallow. When he comes around, he's got his strength back. He's not talking. So this shows everything's under the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then why? Because Allah ta'ala wanted his beloved to explain to his wives what they had done. And what did he say to them? He said something which is very interesting. He said, did you think that Allah the Almighty would have afflicted me with pleurisy? Allah Ta'ala would never grant that power over me. Now this is a very important part of the hadith. Because the prophets aren't like the rest of humanity. They fall ill, but there are certain illnesses that it is forbidden for them to experience. They can't, for instance, have leprosy. Right? It's an illness. Why? Because they have to pass the message. No illness would prevent them from passing the message. Pleurisy falls under that category. Because Allah Ta'ala would never allow that on me. Think about that. Look at the status of the prophets. And then you get the Bani Israel. What do they say about the prophets? Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam got boils. Then worms came out. He put the worm back in. And then you think, where is that then, brother? Because in Bible, why are you studying Bible? Bible says they committed adultery. You're going to believe that as well? They committed incest. Astaghfirullah. Bo, bole bali Musliman, quoting Bani Israel. You hear him bayans? And he would say, as if it's a noble thing. You know, once I heard, you know, I don't know if he's a sheikh or anything like that, but he goes, and Ayyub had so much concern and love that he even showed compassion to the maggot. So I'm listening to that, I'm thinking, astaghfirullah, what's he saying? Because he even put the maggot back. I don't want to deprive you of visit. Are you going to go to that man to get, you know, to get guidance? What's the first thing that's going to go through your head? Sort yourself out. Right? So where's the proof? People say, where's proof with them? I want dalil. And when you give them dalil, they go, oh, there you go. These scholars just make it. Here's the proof. What did the Prophet Islam say? Did you think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have afflicted me with pleurisy? Shaitan, this action of yours is from shaitan, meaning this is the article of iman. This is, you know, this is, you need to know this. This is from shaitan, this thought of yours. And Allah ta'ala would never grant it power over me. And where's the proof? Completely recovered. So talking fully to them. Then look how angry he was for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He never got angry for himself. Remember this. Himself, let me give you a proof. In the battle of Uhud, they were trying to kill our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They almost succeeded. Struck him on the shoulder with the sword. Struck him on his head sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The helmet pierced his cheeks. He lost one of his blessed teeth. Fell into the ditch. When he's in the ditch, what dua does he make? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, oh my Lord, forgive my people. They do not know what they are doing. Why? Because it's him. When it comes to himself, he forgives. Go forward 1 year, 2 years, battle at the trench. Salat missed. The siege is that intense. Salat missed. Umar comes. He goes, Ya Rasulullah, I've missed Salat al-Asr. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill the Jews' graves with fire. I have also missed Salat al-Wusta. Now he's cursing. Why? Because the right of Allah Ta'ala has been breached. That's the sunnah. So here, this is indicating what's happened. This is the right of Allah. So this is iman. And then he goes, all of you now must take the medication. Except, now look how touching this is. What did he say? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Except my uncle Abbas, he didn't witness this. Now why is that a very interesting part of the hadith? Because Abbas was like his carer, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like his father, he's always there. But at that time, he was so beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he wasn't there. Allah ta'ala spared him. And he goes, he wasn't here. But now he's back again, he's come back. He goes, he doesn't have to, my uncle. And then look, this is why I mentioned this report. Maymuna wasn't spared. What was she doing? Fasting. Right? Rasulullah seriously ill. Are you fasting? Look at the state of our mother. Wasn't spared. The Prophet didn't say, well, because she's fond of fasting, she's excused. She gotta break her fast. Right? So note, what do we learn? We learn that our beloved mother radiallahu anha was very, very time conscious. She was always doing ibadat, whatever deed she could get into her blessed life. Now who were the ones who gave the medicine to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? In one report, it is related that when he fell into the unconsciousness, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Salama, radiallahu anha, and Asma bint Umais, radiallahu anha, who was the sister of Maymuna, were the respected ladies who placed the medicine into his mouth. This is in Ibn Sa'd in his Tabaqat, volume 2, page 32. So if somebody goes to you, did all the mothers give the medicine? One mother gave the medicine. One sister-in-law. So why did the Prophet then say all of them? Because none of them stopped it. If you witness something, you're all liable to some degree. Now another thing. SubhanAllah. Your blood pressure as it is. But SubhanAllah, some diseased so-called Muslims utter a horrific slander here. They accuse our beloved mothers of trying to poison Rasulullah. Think about that. Right? The Rawafid. The Rawafid say, this was an attempt on Rasulullah's life. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And then they'll say, it's in your books. It's in your books. And he goes, okay then, what does it say? And they come out with this report. But doesn't the report say medicine? Because no, really it was poison. Astaghfirullah. Are these wretches bereft of any iman? Now think about this logically. How do we know that that can't be true? Because if that were the case, then the mothers of the believers would have all perished. Because they also took the poison. Look at the divine wisdom. You know, why did Rasulullah say all of you? Because Allah Ta'ala is guiding him. He knows these shaitans are going to look into it. If Rasulullah had not told his wives, all of you drink, you might have a point. Like some crackpot might say, no, yeah, you're right. Maybe he was angry because there was poison. But Rasulullah goes, all of you drink. What happened to the mothers? Nothing. So it can't be poison. This narration simply indicates that our beloved messenger's command must be obeyed, even when he was fatally ill, because he never speaks from his own desire. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Thus, those who disobeyed him out of love for him, concern for his welfare, deserved a fair reprimand. Thus, they were told to consume the medication. That's it. And, just to add this, they go on as far as to say that he was finally poisoned. And he goes, because the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I can feel my aorta being cut. This is in Sahih Bukhari. Because the poison has reactivated. So, what was he referring to? He was referring to the poison meat that was given to him, which Allah Ta'ala prevented from spreading through his body. It reactivated 3-4 years later. The Rawafid again look at this and they twist it. Because the poison finally took effect. Which poison? Because all the mothers gave him poison. Astaghfirullah. You know, think about what they're actually saying about the mothers of the believers. Right? Would you say that about your own mother? Imagine if you said to that person, I think your biological mother tried to poison Rasulullah. Would you take that? He'd be hoofing and puffing. Then he said, oh, do you love your own mother more than the mothers of the believers? Look at the sickness there. So note again, the reason I mentioned that was to highlight that she was worshipping. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ Now think about this, just to wrap up. We're now in the holy days. The word holiday actually comes from holy day. That's interesting. Right? Holiday traditionally meant time of worship. Look how we perverted it. Holiday means pokachon, go to beach, right? Astaghfirullah, right? So, we're in the holy days, the greatest days on earth, the blessed 10 days. What I find amazing is, try to picture our mothers. How could they increase in their worship? If you look at their lives, you get this impression that 24/7 they're doing ibadah. So how did they actually increase in these holy days? And the tragedy is, we people like ourselves don't even exert in the days that are holy. Imagine, forget about the normal days. Even in the days that are the holiest of holies, are we really pushing ourselves? No, subhanAllah. So all I mentioned today was basically taking a glimpse into the immense worship of our dear and beloved mother, Sayyidah Maymuna, radiyallahu anha. And again, mind-blowing. At the same time, mentioning what some of the deviants have said about our dear and beloved mother, A'udhu Billah. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanallahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, wa a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem, subhanallah rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, salamun ala al-mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, wal asr, innal insana lafi khusr, alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat, wa wasbil haqq, wa wasbil sabr, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.